Saints. Good morning. Come on, let me see you wave your hand like this this morning. Amen, Saints. Amen. Worshipers in the house today. Amen, praises in here today. You know, King David said to the people in Psalm 34 and 1, I will bless the Lord at all times. This praise shall continually be on my lips. So I want you to stand with us, put your hands together. We need your energy this morning. Come on, get to your feet this morning. Let us praise the Lord. We're going to bless him this morning. Anybody want to bless the Lord this morning? Anybody here want to bless the Lord? Come on, saints. Here we go. Come on, put those hands together. come on, let me hear you.
Hallelujah.
I'm gonna remember you singing to the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. My favorite one is come on and shout for joy with me. Hallelujah, God. It's a blessing to be in the house of the Lord one more time. God has spared us all, and he has been so kind to us. He has been so kind to us. That some of us, if we reflect on ourselves and our lives, we don't even deserve it. But God, he's just that good. Thank you, Jesus. We're just glad to be in the house of the Lord. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go. Let us go into the house of the Lord. He's given us another chance to get it right. And it's just good that he's good. Yes. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you this morning, Lord, for your worship has gone forth and your praises are in the atmosphere. We thank you, God, that you've now given us another chance to bow before you, God, to worship and adore you. For you're worthy like none other, God. So we just honor you, praise you, and thank you that you have allowed us to come here today, God. Another opportunity to worship you and give you honor. And it is in your son Jesus' name that we pray. Let's go to our hymn books and go to number 420. And we will be doing verses 1, 2, and 4. And it says, leave it there. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Come on and open up your mouth and give God some praise.
Lord, please do it for me.
Lord, do it for me.
This is a cry of your children, Lord,
do it.
Do it for me. In trouble, you can say, Lord, do it. Cause we know you'll be a rainmaker. If you're sick and you can't say, Lord,
do it for me.
Because we know you're a doctor. If your heart is heavy, you can say,
Lord,
Thank you, Lord. Do it for me right now. My God, I forgot it was time for me to pray. I was caught up. Thank you, Jesus. Let us pray, Father God, in the name of Jesus. It is once more and again, God, that we come before you. Somewhere, God, the circle has gotten smaller. But you're still there, oh God. The spirits are heavy, God, but you're still there. The minds need fixing, God, but you're still there. The hearts, the minds, and the spirits, God, do it for me. Right now, God, we thank you, God, that you're on your way. You have dispatched your angels to come and see about us. We thank you this morning, God, for Pastor Robinson and Minister Corliss Robinson. We thank you for your covering, God, in this hour. You're keeping and you're strengthening and restoring them right now in the name of Jesus. You are God all by yourself. And we thank you for First Congregational. God, thank you because people don't have to care about you. They don't have to love you, God. But I thank you this morning, God, that you raised a body of people that know how to love, how to care, and how to be real. God, thank you this morning that this ministry shall go in the earth and do whatever you've called it on earth to do. Bless the leadership. Bless everybody that hold a position in this ministry. Bless right now in the name of Jesus. God, we thank you. For you say, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. So we're going to take it right now, run on, God. We glorify you. We honor you and we praise you. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Yeah. Father God, thank you this morning for the givers. A special thanks to the giver. We pray that your Holy Spirit will bless it, that it be magnified and multiplied, that it will go forth and do what you intended for it to do. We pray for our leadership that they make the right decision in the distribution of it. We praise that all time and everything that we do, that the service that is provided to this community is pleasing and acceptable to you. We thank you.
Through the years, the Lord.
good.
On 85.
He's been good.
On the corner of High Union.
He's been good.
He's been good.
He's been good.
Oh,
it's all right
been
to clap
good.
Your hands.
You know the Lord really been good to me. Now through the years, the Lord's been good to me. Now through the years, oh, yes he has.
A rearview mirror and go back a little bit. Some of us do, but others can just think about what he did for you yesterday. Glory to God. Hallelujah. See, it don't take much for me to praise God. I'm not ashamed of the God that I serve. I don't know about you, but as I look back over my life, and I realize what God has done for me, I don't have to wait to shout for God. I come in the house to give him praise because he's worthy to be praised. Yeah, I don't care about this suit. I'll take it off. Yeah, because I want God to understand I'm trying to get some time with him. I need him to do some things for me. See, we always looking for something from God, but we're not willing to give him nothing. My God. Yeah, God, you're going to make me change my sermon. Yeah, God, because it's time for us to get ready for his return. Ah, some of us think we got a long time, but it's... Hey God. See, I don't know about y'all. I come from a Baptist church. Yeah. And I'm not ashamed of where I come from. Because I love to praise the Lord. If you don't know what I've been through, just talk to me after church. And I can tell you why I shout when I get happy. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hey God. Oh Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Ah, he's really been good. Whether you know it or not, he's really been good. And guess what? This is not my first visit. So I know he's been good to somebody in here. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And that's enough to shout, to give God some praise. Ah, Jesus. Ah, God, let me get ready to preach this word. Because I almost changed my sermon. God didn't tell me to do that. Thank you, Lord. Come on, go with me. Woo, glory to God. Hallelujah. I know we got Jesus. Woo, Jesus. See, when I just look back from this morning, when he woke me up, and I looked next to me, and my husband was awake, I said, thank you, God. Because it could have been our cooling boys. That was enough for me to give you praise. Hallelujah. You didn't have to put $1 million in my bank account. You can if you will, God. Thank you. Lord God, I thank you. Yeah, it's good to laugh. Laughter is good for the soul. But when I looked over and saw that my husband was awake, I began to praise God. Because if you've been through the things that I've had to go through these last 3 months, glory to God, hallelujah. I thank you for your goodness, God. Just taking care of us, God. I thank you this morning, and I'm going to get to the word. My. But I get excited about the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me. And I'm not selfish because I'm excited about what he's doing for you. Yeah. Talk to me later. I'll tell you what I'm talking about. Because I know God has done some things in this place for you. Because guess what? You're in the pews. Amen. Ah. And you could have been. Y'all know Womack. I'm transparent. And I believe in giving God his praise. He's so worthy. Church, I keep telling you, this is the dressing up room. And if you don't get it right here, my God, you surely won't make it there. Hallelujah, God. Or wherever you think heaven is. Let me say that. Glory to God. I want to thank, and I can call him brother. Brother Walter, this morning. Because you found it not robbery to bless. Old wretched sinner like me. I'm nothing without God. All that I am is because of who he is. And whatever you see in me, don't ever think it's me. It's the goodness of Jesus that has poured in on me. And just as he's done it for me, he's already done it for you. This morning, I thought I was going to have to go and do a makeup all over again. Because you blessed me. And I had to tell God, thank you. And I'm not a normal person when it comes to thanking God. See, I fall out on my face before God. Because I know who he is. Amen. I'm not trying to figure out who he is. I know who he is. So I had to thank him this morning for you. And it's not just you in this place who has blessed me. But I want to thank you because I was down this morning. And I walked in and there was a blessing that picked me up. Amen. My mother and I love flowers and roses. And you brought everything back to me this morning. I thank God for you, my brother. And I prayed for you because of who you are in him. Thank you, my brother. Thank you. And then my sister B came. I said, God, what are you doing to me? They know I'm a crybaby. And when she began to pour into my life, I said, thank you, God. And by the time she left the room, I was a mess. And I had to ask my brother, before you take me out there, can I go into the restroom? I got to get myself together. Because I'm a little vain sometimes. I like to be cute. I don't know what woman in here don't like to be cute. If you don't, pick up the habit of being cute. My mother raised me to be a lady. Amen. And that's what I portray at all times. Because I represent her, but more than that, I represent God.
Amen.
He said, I'm royal. I'm chosen. I'm not like everybody else. And I'm looking all over the room because I see some of that. It's okay, ladies. Let me say that, and brothers. Your brothers look good, too. Thank you, God. But I thank you. Thank you, my brother, for seeing about me. You've been a blessing to me. I thank God for you all. That's why I said what I said in my prayer. It's because you don't have to be kind. But every time I come here, I'm blessed by the body of people. He has taught you all how to love and how to be real with people. And that's a great thing to have in your life. Now, come on, let's get the word in you. Thank you, Jesus. Because every time I come in this pulpit and y'all keep calling me back in here, I can hear my brother up in here. And before I came out, I called him. And he said, look, get yourself together, girl. He said, you got to go preach to my people. I'm not having you out there with all that crying. So that's what I'm hearing right now. That's why I'm stronger in Christ. Thank you, God. If you will, come and go with me to Jeremiah. You all know this already. But that's what God want to take care of because you think you know it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Jeremiah 29. Verses 11 through 14. Come and go with me if you will. I left my Bible at my church this morning. So y'all forgive me. I'm using my phone. Jeremiah 29, chapter 29, verses 11 through 14. And it reads, For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with your heart. Amen. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. Somebody in here been bound. Amen. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place from which I carried you in exile. Now, most of us in here, we know this part of that scripture. For I know the plans I have, and we love to say that. Jeremiah 29, 11, that's my verse. That's what we love to say. For I know the plans I have for you. But if we just go a little deeper, God's people are in captivity. And they've been going through some things. And guess what? He has allowed them to be Amen. In captivity. Amen. And not because he's so very angry, because that's what it appears to be. But he wants them to know that the anger that I have with you is about to build you. That's a time of refinery going on in this chapter. And when you come forth, you'll be different. See, we were sinners, and I'm adding us because, yes, that's who we are. Yeah. And we were doing whatever we thought we could do because of where we were. We were in a place with the Babylonians. And we thought we could do whatever we wanted to do. But I said this morning, because of who he is and because he cares for us, he sent forth his word. The first time it was verbal. But now he's saying, Jeremiah, write it down. Because I want them to understand that I mean what I say. So now, the word is being written for you. He said, because you think so much is going to happen to you, let me help you to understand what is going on. See, the false prophets had told the people that they were about to be released. But God said, yeah, it's coming, but not now. You've sinned. You've lived however you want to live. You've done what you've done in the earth. So guess what? You need some time. You know how we are. The young people in here, when your mom and dad are getting a little angry, a little upset with it, go to your room. You need some time without your computer, your phone, your TV. Take everything away for a while. And sit still and listen. That's where God is with his people. Because you do know these are his people. Amen. Right. Right. And he says, in 70 years, I will bring you out. He didn't tell them they were coming out. I will bring you out. That lets me know that the only way they're going to make it out of this is that God has to be a part of it. Right. There's no warriors bad enough to bring you out of this. And I'm paraphrasing because I want you to get the picture. But I'm going to allow you to come out of captivity. And I've sent you from city to city. Where you had your family here, I sent some here, some there. But guess what? I'm going to bring everybody that's in exile back together. But there's some things you're going to have to do. That's who my God is. You've got to pay a price for doing what you've done. And I don't know who I'm talking to this morning. But I just know he gave me the word. So it's not, don't say Womack came in here. Anyway. Okay, here we go. He said you're going to be in bondage for 70 years. And then I'm going to bring you out. That's why you don't need to be stuck on that. For I know the plans I have for you. Yes, because in those plans, don't leave the part out that you got to go through some things. Glory to God. But what you got to see is the future in this. Don't get stuck in what you're going through. Think about what he's spoken for your life. He said in 70 years, you got to spend a little time with them folks down there. You've been taking part of all that stuff and doing. But I'm going to come and get you. Jeremiah. My prophet. Write it down for them. Last time you just told them and they didn't obey. So this time I want to make it real plain to them. I want them to be able to see it. I want them to be able to read it. I want them to know that it's me that has done this thing. And that's where we are as children of God. We got to know who our God is. Yes. And I, glory to God, hallelujah. Y'all know I listen, and I say it, y'all, and I know grandma, but I'm talking to people, everyday people. You got to know who you are. That's why I said, some people say, I'm shy. That's why I don't do this. That's why I don't stand up and clap and praise the Lord. You better throw it out the window. Because we're in a time when you're about to go in bondage. Hear me when I say, tell them when they get here that Womack stood in the pulpit and said, we're going to a place of bondage. And we're going to have to spend some time in that thing. Because we've done the same thing, and some of us are still doing it. That's in the word. But God loves us so much. First, he gave us his only begotten son. His very best. I told you, he set the example for how you should live. You should do things. How you should love people. How you should act in the earth. It's in the word. Everything that you need is in the word. The word says, if we look deeper at the context, we can see in the verses that there were things going on. And so God is about to make a bigger picture of restoration, healing, and the fulfillment of God's divine purpose, even through times of trials and hardship. Which brings me to my first point. God's plans are good and full of hope. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. That's a promise. And if I must take a subject, it's God's promises and his hope for restoration. He wants to restore some people today. This promise wasn't just about restoring the physical land of Israel. It was a promise that God was working behind the scenes to restore the hearts of his people. He was not punishing them out of anger. He was shaping and refining them for a future hope. As believers, he didn't leave us out. We can take comfort in this. So whatever you're going through and whatever you're doing, no matter how difficult your present situation may seem, God's plans for us are good. He promised us that. His vision for our lives is far greater than what we can see in this moment. So if you're suffering and you're going through something and you feel like you've been locked in captivity, he said, it's okay. I have a greater plan for you. My second point, and I'm getting ready to get out of here. A call to seek God. Jeremiah 29, verses 12 and 13. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me. See, some things gonna have to change, people. There's some stuff you're going to have to do and some things you're going to have to go through, and then you're going to get some marching orders. Here they are. He said, when you change from your wicked ways and from doing things the way you think you ought to do it, I told you about the five-step cycle once, about how we as the body of people of Christ, we think we got it going on. We don't call on God. We live however we want to live. We do what we want to do. Until something happens. And then we began to walk and stir the floors, tear the carpet up and everything else. And we ask God to do things for us. We stay before the Lord asking God to work it out. Do it for us, God. Remove this. Heal me. Deliver me. Set me free. We do all of that. And then God hears us. And he looks down and he said, there they are again. They've made it a pattern. And I got to give it a label. 5 steps. After he sees you and hears you, he then sends you deliverance. And then we can straighten up and fly right. But as soon as we get comfortable with our money, car, all this stuff and things that we think that's working it out for us, as soon as we get comfortable with those things, we forget who God is. Yeah, we don't get up every morning praying, talking to God. We don't give encouraging words to somebody who's going through something just like you. We start living our little lives however we want. But that's who we are. And I come to let you know that God still loves you because he knows all of us. It says that when you call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen, glory to God, to you. See, sometimes he'll turn a deaf ear. Because you're really not talking about anything. He said that I will listen to you. You will seek me, and guess what? Find me. When you begin to get it right with God, don't keep going back and forth, back and forth. He said you will seek me and find me. And when you seek me with all of your heart, don't come before God with that fake stuff. You know you love to say, God know my heart. He know the hair on your head too. Every strand. So guess what? Yeah, he knows you. So don't come to him with anything. This part of the passage reveals the invitation of God to his people. Even in the midst of suffering, even in exile, God wants his people to turn to him. He's still giving us another chance. There's a deeper call. Not only pray, see, because we think we can give God a little prayer every now and then, but seek him. You got to seek God with everything that's in you. Let me explain to you when I say seek him. Because I know people say, you don't have to say all those words, God. But there comes some times in your life that you got to spend some time with God and talk to God. Now you don't have to make up these words, create new words and stuff, but you got to spend some time with him. Just like you spend time on your job. Just like you spend time going out to dinner. Football games and all. We give them time. But we want to say, God, I thank you this morning. I'm glad you left. But listen. I'm sincere. Amen. It's okay to go on your face and spend some time with God. He hears the heart when you do that. And we're in a time when things are about to get a little rough. And we're going to learn how to go on our face before God. So you need to get ready now. I keep saying this, in this house, this is dressing up room. And we need to put on our armor and get ready to spend time with God. He says, this deeper place and time and calling on him means you got to prioritize some things. Where you used to spend time on the phone, put it down. Where you used to watch soap opera shows, all of that stuff, put it down. Give that time to God. And I can promise you it's going to make a difference in your life. And I'm getting ready to go out of here. It says when we honestly seek him, he promises that we'll find him. Because if I do a survey right now, there are some people in here who think God has forgotten all about you. Because times are so hard, things are so rough. You're going through things in your body, in your mind, in your spirit. And it seems as if God don't hear you. Guess what? This is what his people felt like. In bondage. He said, I'm coming. He gave them 70 years. But I read that it's 1,000 years is like but one day to the Lord. So if you got something going on, you better put some time in with God. These are his promises, and if he promised it, you can trust it. God's assurance and restoration is what he's doing for his people right now. Let me say this. This is the ultimate promise of God. It's a promise not to just return you to where you used to be, but to turn you towards him. He wants to turn your heart towards him. You can return to him, but turn your heart towards him so that you can hear from him. I heard somebody say yesterday at a conference that I did, the lady was giving her testimony, and she talked about spirits. See, we above that kind of stuff. But I'm telling you, you better get dressed. And the other lady said, can I say something? If I had seen that, I'd have made a new door. My children and I would have never gone back to that house. And I waited till they finished. And I said, guess what, children of God? You better get ready. Because the demons are not afraid of you. They are coming to your house and live. If you don't know how to battle and go to war. This is your dressing up room, and I'm closing. We too can find restoration in God. When we call upon God, no matter how far, no matter what you're going through, his invitation will be open to you. Jeremiah 29:11-14 is a reminder that God's plans for us are full of hope and a future. That's the key. Amen. Full of hope and a future. He told them that I'm going to come and bring you out. I'm going to make sure you get out of this. We must choose to seek him wholeheartedly. No matter what difficult situation you may be in or facing today, know that God's heart is towards you. His love is all you need. Let us not only rely on God's promises, but also pursue him passionately. You've got to get passion, church. Passionate about God. And he is always faithful to bring us back to himself. Now I'm going to give you this and you can get ready to exit. There's some applications that we need to remember. It'll help you in your life. Trust in God and know that he has a good plan for you. Even when things don't make sense, remember that God has a purpose for your life and his plans are for your good. Amen. Seek God honestly. Take time every day to seek God with all your heart. Let go of distractions and pursue his presence. And last but not least, embrace the promise of restoration. No matter where you find yourself, God is a God of restoration. He will bring you back to himself. And he will heal what is broken in you. Just like they couldn't fix it, you can't fix it. You got to give it to God. And you got to wait. What we don't like to do. Wait on God to come and see about you. And be assured that it's not about your waiting. You got to know he's coming. Amen. Hope and assurance is what he has promised. And I'm crazy enough to believe him. You can't tell me anything about my God. Because guess what he did one day? Just like back then, it's going on now. But he had to search the earth to find one. And he couldn't find one. So his son said, give me a body. I'll go down and I'll redeem them back unto you. So he took on a body and he came to earth. And as you know the story, as he entered into the city, they cried, holy, holy, holy. But because he professed his father and who he was and with the authority, there were those who said, got to be false. Can't be real. Let's take him before Pilate. So they took him before Pilate. And they judged him, tried to find fault in him, asked questions that they knew he already knew. But when the test was over, come to let you know he passed the test. Pilate said, take this man from before me. I find no fault in him. So he said, take him back and let them judge him, his own people. So when they took him, they asked him. They said, who do you want? Just like you and I are sitting in here today. They said, do you want Jesus? Or do you want Barabbas? Do you want Jesus? Or do you want Barabbas? I'm asking today, who do you want? Jesus? Or do you want Barabbas? And there were those who said, give us Barabbas. But I want you to understand something. He didn't open up his mouth. He let them march him from judgment hall to judgment hall. And then he allowed them to take him and place him on an old rugged cross. They tell me that it was borrowed. Everything. See, the story is, and I'm getting ready to get out of here for real. The story is, if I borrow something, I can give it back. They nailed him to an old rugged cross. And they then took him and lifted him up. They nailed him in his hands. And they tell me that they put rivets in his feet. But he never, glory to God, said a mumbling word. He had a mission. From heaven to earth, there's a mission going on. Glory to God. He said, they can nail me to the cross and they can do whatever they want, but they can't kill me. He said, if they kill me, it won't happen. Guess what? He said, he could call on angels and they would come. But he never said a mumbling word. He stayed there on the cross. And when it was time, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. This is the kind of God that you got to learn how to serve. Glory to God. He stayed there on the cross from the 6th to the 9th hour. He gave up the ghost, locked his head in his shoulder and gave up the ghost. They took him down and they buried him in a tomb. They said they borrowed that tomb. But when the women came that morning with the rich oils, they were going to anoint him. The tomb, it was empty. They called it the sepulchre. And the women began to cry, and the angel said, Why are you crying? They said, because they've taken my Lord away. He said, he's not here. Said, go and tell him. And as they were traveling, I'm going to leave him a minute, but I got to give God some glory. Amen. And guess what? I'm fighting some demons right now by the power of the Holy Ghost. Thank you, God. He said, they went and they were looking for him. They didn't even know they were in his presence. But he did tell them, go and tell them. Guess what the disciples were about this time? Hey, God. And I'm going to leave that alone. Amen. Glory to God. But I come to let you know that he said to him, and he's still doing it today. Yes. I'll get up in 3 days. And he did that. But I want to tell you this part of the story. They told me, as a young girl, that he went to the grave and he preached a revival. But on his way up out of there, he said, is there any of you that want to come on and go with me? He took the key. He took the stain of death and he left there. I don't know about you, but that kind of God, come to serve him because of who he is. Glory to God. I'm going to leave this thing alone. The God that I serve, he's a real God. He's a real good God. And I live my life because of what he did for me. If I look to the right, he's done some things. If I look to the left, he's done some things. And I look straight down through the middle, he's done some things. So why not trust God? His assurance and his promises are still living in the earth today. And somebody better get on fire. Get on fire for the Lord. It's all right to praise him. He's worthy to be praised. Somebody here ought to give God a hand clap. The doors of the church are open. Glory to God. My, 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 my. I don't know about you, but I look back over my life and I think about how good God has been to me. And I can't help but praise him. You better learn how to give God glory. Give him honor and give him praise. Come on and just wave your hand for the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The doors of the church are open. Maybe there's somebody in here that strayed away from the Lord. Come on while you have a chance. He's waiting on you. He's waiting on you to make it up in your mind that I want to live for God. Come on while you have a chance. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Only trust him. God, come on while you have a chance. Maybe you're sinners and you need to be saved by grace. Come on while you have a chance. Thank you, Jesus. You don't have to join church here. But I'm sure we would love to have.
Amen.
Uh-huh. Pastor Robinson will be back next week, and he'll receive you unto this ministry. And I can promise you, you'll be blessed. The anointing. Yes. Yes. Hey, God. I'm telling you. Pastor Robinson is something special, not just because he's my brother, but he is special. He's special. My mother spoke in his life at a young age. She saw it. And she said it was five of us that were going to be preachers. Her children. It's four of us preaching now. And the last one is just fighting. But I told him, it's a fixed fight. You can't beat God. You can run. You may try to hide. No, you can't hide. But it's in his time, in God's time. I thank you all for allowing me to come. And pray for me, pray for my family. We thank you all so much. I love you all. And I'm trying not to get so comfortable here. Yeah, you know, I'm real. Because you know what I said this morning? I said, did my church too? Thank you, Jesus. My pastor said, wait a minute, where you going? I said, I'm going over to First Congregation, my other home. Thank you, Jesus. Let us stand, please. Jesus. Now unto him who is able to present us before the Almighty God, majesty, power, henceforth and forevermore. We give you honor, God. We give you glory, God, and we give you praise. Thank you, God. Father God, we thank you today that you've done this thing in here today. And we love you. We glorify you. And we praise you, God. Keep your people as only you can keep us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.